That brings us to the second half of this lesson, which is shorter. As Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on all sides. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're going to hope I can put those down there and not like knock them out or have them blow away or anything fun like that. I don't know if you noticed, but in Luke's encounter, there are no hosannas and there are no palms. There are cloaks on the road, there are donkeys, but there are no hosannas and there are no palms. So the way we come to this text this day is a little different, but hey, the way we've come to every text in the last year has been a little different. And so here we are. It sounds the same. Jesus comes into town and there's a powerful entry. There's a crowd that gathers. There is a witness to the presence of God, or at least the presence of God's chosen. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," is shouted out. And then those people that we've come to know as the fun police, the Pharisees, show up. You know, they're the people that it's 4th of July and you started fireworks at 4 o'clock and they're out because it's now 6:30 and you have still been running fireworks. We probably do the Pharisees a disservice, but that's the role they play in this scripture. They are the middlemen between Jesus and the people of God and Rome. And all too often, they just seem to be in the way. So they come out to Jesus and they say, "Make them stop. Make them stop talking about you like you're the king. Make them stop talking about you like you are the Son of God. Make them stop talking about you as though you are the Messiah. Make them stop talking about you as though you are anything other than the flavor of the month of Jewish rebellion. Make them stop talking about you as though you are everything." Think about it. They're gathered in Jerusalem for this celebration for the Passover. The Passover is a really big deal. It is a really, really big deal. And these people are going to a different parade on Passover weekend. They're going to a parade that they hope is the ultimate Passover parade, the ultimate sign of God delivering God's people. And then there's those people going, "It's noisy. They threw candy in my yard and didn't pick it up. How come I couldn't get down South Carbon Street?" Those are the Pharisees for you. And Jesus has a response for those people. And he has a response for us when we're like that too, because we can be like that too. And that is the other role that the Pharisees play in scripture, is they call us when we are more preoccupied with the rules and the regulations than the power of God. And Jesus says, "You don't quite seem to understand who I am. You don't quite seem to understand what it is that God is doing here." Because even if I could tell these people, and by the way, have you met my disciples? They don't listen really well. They don't pay attention. They certainly don't do what I tell them to do all the time. Even if I could get them to be quiet, the stones would cry out. And that image of the stones crying out is the image that grabbed my attention in this passage from Luke. Not the palms, not the hosannas, not the cloaks on the street, not the move to the upper room, not the donkey napping, donkey jacking, of a ride for Jesus to get into town, but the stones crying out, because that is an image that is used over and over and over again in Scripture. Jesus has already told the people of Israel that they should not get too comfortable with being the children of Abraham, because the axe is at the root of the tree, and God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. If we cheat and use our 2,000-year hindsight on this, we can flash forward 53 days, maybe a little longer, to Pentecost and hear the crowd of disciples who receive the Holy Spirit. And the one guy who talks, you remember the one guy who yells at the crowd, "We're not drunk," is Peter, Cephas, the rock on which Christ will build his church. And on that day, the rock, the stone, cries out. Jesus promises in the Gospels that not a stone will stand upon stone of the temple. And he says that again here in this passage, talking to the Pharisees. But modern Jews go to one standing wall to say their prayers at the Western Wall, at the Wailing Wall, and to slide them between rocks so that God will hear their prayers, because even today the stones cry out. But more than that, for us frozen chosen, which is a literal statement for those of us who are gathered outside today, for those of us who are unsure about how to proclaim the gospel, or if we should proclaim the gospel, or how to do it politely, which I would argue is not a thing in the gospel, this is both encouraging and indictment. God's creation will put to words what God is doing, even if we do not. So as we look out today, we have daffodils that are now past their prime. We have buds blooming. We have dandelions. My yard has tulips and hyacinth. How can you not know that new life is coming? Creation is crying out. The stones, the soil, the earth is crying out that new life is here and now and coming. More than that, when we stay silent for too long, as we so often do, if you have ever sat in a classroom or a meeting and the teacher, the leader has said, "So are there any questions?" And you start to look at each other like, "Yes, I have questions, but I don't want to be the only one who has questions." Then you know that eventually either somebody will ask a question or something will break in the room. Sometimes that question opens the floodgates to every other question that needed to be asked. And sometimes it doesn't get asked, and not asking it comes back and bites us in the backside. This is what I think Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and to us, is that that question, the question of who I am, the question of what God is doing in the world, is always going to get asked. And it does not matter if you ask it, because creation is going to ask it. If we flash forward 5 days from Palm Sunday, depending on which gospel we're in, at the moment of the death of Jesus, the earth quakes, the tombs are open, and the dead walk again. the cloth in the temple, separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the place, is torn. If that is not the very stones crying out, I don't know what to tell you. And so our challenge is to be willing to speak, to be willing to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And then if we're not willing, if we remain silent, to be willing to be able to at least listen to what creation is going to tell us about what God is about in the world. Because when we go forward 1 week from today, 1 week from today, and gather again, the entirety of the resurrection is captured in the idea that the stone is rolled away. One stone being out of place, one tomb being not covered, tells us that the promises and the truth and the reality of the resurrection are all as Christ said it would be. We should be willing to cry out, whether we're in the crowd or whether we're all by ourselves. But if we're not, God's creation will tell the story of God's salvation, of God's work in our midst, both because of us and in spite of us and through us and around us. Are we going to listen? Are we going to look? Are we going to watch? Or are we just going to ask our neighbors to turn down the volume like the Pharisees do? This next week, watch, listen. Listen for your neighbor to tell the story of God. Listen for yourself to recognize the story of God at work in our midst. And watch to see how the stones cry out when we are strangely silent. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.